And Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for each of these special individuals that have come here today, God. And I do pray that you would speak to them and that you would minister to them. But Lord, that you would also give them a word, whatever is needed, whatever they're looking for, what direction they're wanting to take, or just a complete insight that is able to cause them to move forward. But I do pray, God, that also they would draw close to you during these times, that they would see how important it is just to lean on you and to trust in you and rely upon you, because you're a great God and you love them and you care for them and you're wanting to respond to their needs and not only respond to their needs but also respond to their heart. Where sometimes, Lord, we see a lot of things that come into our lives to distract us and to take us in different directions. But Lord, you bring us right back to where we need to be, and that's at the feet of the cross, what you did for us on Calvary. And Lord, as we are just reminded of these things, God, that we would continue to be faithful to, persevere, knowing that we are living in crucial days, days that are so crucial in so many different directions that the children are going in, and that you're using us to be more wiser and more insightful to how we're needing to continue to pour into them your word. And I just pray, God, that today we would continue to see just how even some insights of what we can do to building up leadership. Because, Lord, we need more leaders. And we need leaders that are in love with you, that not only are desiring to follow after you, but that would give up their own direction or their own wants just to continue to be all that they can be for you. Now we ask that you would bless this time. Fill us, Lord, each one of us in here with your Spirit, and just use this time. I ask that I move away and that you would just speak through me, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel like have you ever felt like well, maybe not, but I feel like one of these dogs that put on a sweater, and all of a sudden you're kind of out of norm here, and something's on the side of you, but I just have to be not distracted from this whatever it's called. But I just want to share with you guys, I know that the Lord's going to speak to each one of you as he's going to speak to me, even as I'm giving out this workshop. I know that he's going to share with me some things that he's wanting to do, and I'm really just anticipating some things that not only does he want to give you as we move forward, but we also deceive that he is an awesome God. He's a great God. And one question that I want to ask each one of you is, how can we develop leaders in our churches when everyone is so busy? How can we do that? Can anybody give me a good indication? How can we develop leaders in our churches when everyone is so busy and so overwhelmed? Probably in here, you're probably at the same place. You got computers, you got a lot of things that are going so rapidly in your life. How can we do that? Anybody? Anybody want to share? Nobody?
I think that's the $1 million question.
Pardon?
I think that's the $1 million question.
Yes. Well, I want to hear how you guys might respond to that. So, none? That's very good. That's good. And you had a comment.
Yeah, I don't know. I think part of the goal when we talk about developing leaders is determining, are we going to develop people, or are we going to develop people that do tasks? In other words, if we're developing people, then truly we're investing in them for whatever they're going to do. And I think that's, when I think about leadership development, is trying to develop people for whatever they're into. as far as the how, I think that it does have to go back to relationships, and we have to be realistic of how many we can develop. You know, depending on the size of your leadership base, if it's three or four people, then there's things that you can do that are more manageable than if it's, you know, 100 people or whatever. And so I don't know that I have the answers, but I do believe it has to come down to a relationship. If Jesus really only poured heavily into 12 and really into 3, you know, who am I to say let's develop 100 leaders in our church?
That's good, good. Yes?
I think the only way is through prayer, because everybody's busy regardless if you're working or not working, or you have children, you don't have children. You have to pray and ask the Lord that He would give the people that He would want to be in those ministries the desire, because most of your best teachers are the most busiest, but the Lord sustains them and the Lord gives them and the energy and the joy to do it. So you can't just see somebody and say they're busy and disqualify them, because you don't know what the Lord... the Lord could do many things through us regardless of how busy we are, if we are listening to His voice and relying on Him to give us the strength and the passion to do it.
Very good, very good. You know, as... I give you that question, how can we develop leaders in our churches when everyone is so busy? You know, we see personal schedules are tighter in the churches, and sometimes there are loss in priorities for ministry. Ease of travel and higher income sometimes lead people to go away during the weekends when they should be at church. Also, we see a pattern of not coming to service as often because of other activities. But many people shy away from long-term commitments, and that's one of the key things that I see is that long-term commitments is not there any longer. It's getting harder to find members who are willing to build up the body of Christ and serving. But the bottom line I got to share with you guys is selfishness. Selfishness, because it's me, myself, and I. We live in a society right now that it's I-ism, iPods, iTouch, iMax, iCar, which is coming out in the future. And matter of fact, I own an iMac, or a Mac. But the thing about that is that we're really selfish in a lot of ways, and we're seeing a society that's moving in that direction. They're becoming selfish and saying it's all about me, myself, and I. Even the church itself is constantly really selfish in that. But what is the answer to the problem? And I like what some of you shared. The answer, of course, is Jesus. Men and women need more of Jesus, but most people lack the relationship with the Lord. And devotional time in the mornings because of forgetting of how they need to spend that time interacting with God and speaking with Him. In the mornings, I talk to some of my teachers, and I really share with them just how important their devotional time in the morning is. And if they have a problem, I'll give them devotionals. Because that's a crucial area. It's a crucial area, devotional time. And even here, if you can share that with some of your teachers, that devotional time is very important, and prayer is put on hold and everything else is put in front of them instead of the relationship with God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." And then in Matthew 6:33, it says, "But first seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." James 4:8 tells us to submit therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The word of God and communion with the Lord is in prayer is the key for growth for the leaders. And you know, all these years that I've been in ministry, you know, I don't have the answers. You guys might be going, well, maybe there's a key or something that I can hear from this. I don't have the answers, but I know that God does. And I've been in the ministry for 30 years in children's ministries, and I've watched how God has been faithful to others around me, and how He's been faithful to even leaders and teachers and people that have decided to do that, put God first, to see the Word of God as being the priority in the mornings, to spend that time, even if it's a little bit, but as those ones that you hold accountable to that, they're able to grow and become those leaders. You know, I'm blessed to not only see these past 30 years just how God has been so faithful. Not that I had anything to do with it, but God has been faithful to raise up leaders in children's ministries, You know, we have pastors that have come out of there. We have missionaries. We have not only teachers, school teachers, but we have all sorts of different people that are in areas that were projected in different places. And I'm so glad that God is faithful to not only share with them those important truths, their application of God's word, seeing that, first of all, they need to be in that communion with God. One of the things that we do once a year for our teachers is if we do policies and procedures in January, we bring them together and we share with them how important it is that they spend that time with the Lord. If they're not spending that time with the Lord, then they're not going to be able to grow. They're not going to be able to even pour into the kids because, you know, they get busy. And yes, each of them, they get so busy and so overwhelmed that sometimes they're kind of teaching and coming in. I like what she says, we're constantly provoking them. We're constantly sharing with them that they need to stay in the Word and constantly coming to service. And constantly, that's a requirement for them, that they come to service at least once per week. And if it's not a Wednesday night, it's a Sunday. Or if it's not a Sunday, it's a Sunday night. But that's a priority for them. And so as each one of you in here are able to not only note that there's a lot of leaders in your midst, because I've watched where parents have been diligently bringing their kids, that all of a sudden as they come week after week, I say, that person there has been in the Word and is constantly coming to service. Yes, maybe it's time for me to provoke them and say, hey, are you ever interested in children's ministry? And they go, no. I said, okay. And I'll wait a little bit longer and pray for them. And then later, maybe a while later, I'll ask again. And they'll go, hey, you know what? Why not? And they're thinking about it. At least get that application towards them. But eventually, they find out that they need to be in some type of ministry. And then as they come into children's ministry, it's amazing to watch them flourish and grow. As they put those principles before them. Joshua was a good spiritual man, and I like Joshua from just seeing what he had as he grew and matured. But Joshua was a spiritual man, and it was evident to all who came in contact with him. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because with the Holy Spirit, when we ourselves as leaders are filled with the Spirit, we're able to discern and have insight. It was really fascinating the other day that you know, when God prompts it on your heart that there's a person that you wouldn't think that would be able to be a leader, that you, by the prompting of the Lord, that you would go and share with them or hand them an application or provoke them. But Joshua was one that was filled with the Spirit. And in Ephesians 5:18, it tells us that we need to be filled with the Spirit. What do people say as they leave us? Are we filled with the Spirit? Are we strengthened in the Word that they're able to note that we've been with the Lord? Because see, guys, the first thing is that we're the examples to the others. The people around us, we're the first example. If we want to build leaders, then we need to be those examples. How are they going to be able to even follow after if we're not doing those things that need to be done? Being in the Word and going to service and being faithful to the church and the service. And they see those things. They watch us. And I can tell you in here, because I do have Sunday school teachers that are in here, I know they've watched me. I know they see me. They see what I go through, and they see what happens. And they see my ups. They see my downs. They see my heartaches. They see sometimes my sufferings. And they see even sometimes my hypocrisy at times, I bet. But one thing is that they do see that I love God and that I hold tightly to Him, and He's my foundation, and He's my all in all. And I pray that each one of you would be those examples with others. And one thing about Joshua was that he was a spiritual man. And he not only was able to be a spiritual man, but he was an example. And as we do the things that God wants us to do, we need to be attentive to the spiritual things that He puts upon our hearts. And Joshua had private and personal devotional time with the Lord. Charles Spurgeon once was seen by others passing in the middle of the road and asked, as he stopped in the middle of the road, and he says, well, I sense something comes between me and the Lord, and he needed to take another step, and he didn't take another step until he took care of what was separating him and from the Lord. Are we sensitive to the Lord in that case when we know that all of a sudden there's something that's not right with us that we need to get right? You know, we need to be those ones that are sensitive to the Spirit as well. As leaders, as ones that we want to build others in Christ, we need to be sensitive. And you know, I notice that sometimes you guys might have something that might stop you from being sensitive, maybe a situation or unforgiveness, but get those things taken care of. I'll give you for an instance. I had a young man that came into the office, and one thing is that he had just an attitude, and he had a whole stuff in his life. Well, as we dealt with unforgiveness, all of a sudden, as he came in, his eyes were all kind of droopy, and he was just kind of kicking back. And as we spoke and we dealt with the issue of unforgiveness, we took care of that. You know, all of a sudden, he lit up, and he became all that he can be for Christ. And sometimes if we're holding unforgiveness towards others and those things that God wants us to take care of, as leaders, we need to not only be those ones, first of all, to take care of issues in our lives that are hindering us from walking as God would want us to walk. Am I that sensitive to the separation or even not letting anything come between me and God? And Joshua would not depart from the tent, as we see in Exodus 33:11. In Exodus 33:11, it says, "So then the Lord said to Moses, face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, that he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle." Here we see not only Joshua, he was not only filled with the Spirit, but he wouldn't depart from the tent, from being in the presence of the Lord. And it's a good place for us to also be a witness to others, is that we're constantly in service and we're going to service. We're being in service to hear the word, that we're also being fed and nourished. But Joshua was a servant, as we even see in Joshua 33:11. God calls us to be servants. It's not about me or my agenda. We need to be models of this. Joshua stayed as a servant even when it took Moses' place. Jesus was a good example of being a servant. We need to serve one another in servanthood. And how are we serving? Just a little while ago, I was just noting the pastor of this church was being a servant, and he probably didn't even catch me just seeing him as he got that little broom and he was cleaning up. And he's the pastor of the church. I mean, he has people around him to probably do that. But as he was a servant, he needs to be able to be seen that he's doing what others are doing. And I thought it was a good point that he made. He made that point that he's no longer this high person, this pastor of a church that is growing, that's flourishing, but he's a servant. He's a bond servant. And how are we those servants? Sometimes we forget that God is wanting to work on our lives so that others would be used in our lives. And as we become those servants, sometimes I'll tell you, I had a situation where I had this table one time. We were having a teacher's workshop, and I went to go get it, and somebody goes, "No, I'll get it for you." I go, no, I'll get it. And I was getting in, I was carrying it, and all of a sudden, as I was carrying it, the legs popped open, and I went and fell on the floor, and here I am laying on the floor with my face down. And I don't know if some of you teachers in here remember that, but I was laying on the floor, and then I looked up, and they go, "Are you okay?" I go, "Yes." Just my pride was placed before me, you know. But the thing about it is that I know that they've seen that even more so that I was willing to take that chair and to take that table to help out, to be a part of the solution. If sometimes we forget that others, or maybe we think others are going to do it, we need to be those examples towards building leadership. Pioneer Clubs is one of our ministries that we do on Sunday nights. Well, they see that many people are getting involved, and as they see sometimes myself not only doing some of the service, some of the stuff, then they're willing to get on board and help as well. As a matter of fact, sometimes they're wanting to help me out because they see me getting to be an old man now, and so they go, "I don't think he can do it now, so we need to do it for him." But even so, They need those examples. They need to see those things. And so we see that not only was Joshua a good example, but also the Lord's always checking our hearts and why we do and what we do. You know, why we do those things. What are we doing it? Are we thinking that we're more higher or more over the people? No, we're right beside them. We're those individuals that are right beside them, helping them in the field of what God's placed us in. So we need to continually even check our hearts out for this. We need to know the basic things to grow. Being a servant, if we love our people, if we love those people that are around us, and if we're those lovers of individuals, then others will note that. Even those people that are just on the sidelines that nobody says hello to. You know, there's one thing that I really get really bummed out at. When I see people in the hallway or at church that nobody says anything to, you know, it really just grieves my heart to see them there, because, you know, something, they walk in and they walk out and into a building. But we need to be those ones that offer our hellos or even encourage, because those can be future leaders. And I got to tell you that many times, many people have become leaders in children's ministries or teachers in children's ministries because of me stepping out and saying, hello, how you doing? Or, hey, is this your first time? And it's incredible how you're able to see and build up those leaders in your ministry. And I can think back many times where people feel like they can't do anything, or they feel just like I felt. I got to take you back when I first started in ministry almost 30 years ago, where I walked into a church where I Calvary Chapel Downey, and I walked into the back, and there was a person there that greeted me and said hello to me, but then all of a sudden he didn't forget me. Because all of a sudden on a Sunday morning, and when the church was a lot smaller, on a Sunday morning he says, hey, you know, have you ever thought of working in children's ministries? I go, no. No, I can't do that. And I was afraid of working with kids and even coming into ministry. And I matter of fact, I didn't even know any of the books of the Bible. I was totally green and everything. And so I'm just walking through, and he goes, hey, you should get involved. You know, matter of fact, why don't you just help out today? And I go, no, I can't, no. But the thing about it is his perseverance caused me to move into that classroom, and I met the children's pastor, and as I got involved in that class, I'll never forget it, because as a teacher says, you know, this is your class now. You're going to be teaching two-year-olds. And I was fascinated with these two-year-olds that I started with, because I see their little hands praising God, and they were so receptive to God's word, and I grew with them. And it's like I was growing with these two-year-olds, and as I was growing with them, not only God was showing me a whole lot of things about myself, and in turn, I was blessed, because later on I seen someone in the church that some young lady that was there, and I says, hey, have you ever thought of coming into children's ministries? And she says, no. I says, but I need a helper. And eventually she became my best friend. And you know what that does is your best friend and becomes your wife. And so we ended up taking that class. And as I look back and seeing how God was able to not only continue to cause me to grow in those areas, but looking back and even seeing how the pastor there was not only nurturing me and mentoring me and working with me and putting things before me so I can grow. Because I didn't think I can grow in those areas. Matter of fact, I got to tell you one thing, and one thing that I, even up here as I look and I see, I was afraid to speak in front of people. Matter of fact, I couldn't do this. If you could see me even speaking in front of the kids, I'd be afraid of speaking in front of two-year-olds. And here it is, I'm speaking in front of you guys. And so God has done a whole lot of things, and I got to tell you that God is desiring to do that in people's lives. You know, He has special plans for each one of you in here, and he has special direction, but it's as we're willing to continue to move forward in those areas. And I look back and see what he's accomplished. He's not finished with me. I still have a lot to go. And sometimes I think, that's enough, Lord. No, not for him. He wants to continually purge and prune and reshape us and redirect us so that we can continue to produce more fruit, because this way he's able to be glorified in our lives. And so we see that servanthood is very important. But also we see that Joshua was bold and courageous, because we see in Joshua 1 that you know, he was told to be courageous and bold. And sometimes we need to be bold and courageous. So we see those ones that are being pressed to be bold and challenged to be bold. But we know that it's one thing that God is wanting to really speak to our hearts about, that we would stand firm and speak out boldly as we look at the days ahead. We need to be courageous and bold about our faith and about what we need to do. Because sometimes we hold back and even sharing with those ones around us that they need to get involved. They need to be provoked. And so as I like what it says in Joshua chapter 1, and Joshua was told, and matter of fact, in verse 5 it says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to the people you shall divide in inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. That the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will have, or you make, excuse me, make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Each of us think we need an answer of building leadership. Well, God's given us His Word so that we can see how we can build up leaders. One of the main important truths that we can hold on to is that God desires to build leaders in provoking them to get into the ministry, but also that they would be in the Word. That not only would they meditate upon God's Word day and night, but that they would see how God is answering their prayers. I just had an individual that just came to know the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Lord's been placing him upon my heart. And this individual was saying, "You know, I don't hear God. I don't hear God." And so on his own, he got in a group on Wednesday nights. We pray in groups. And as he was praying, he says, "You know, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice somehow. And please make it evident." Well, that night, God answered his prayer. And God not only spoke to him, but shared with him that I'm speaking to you through the service. He spoke to him, and through the Word, it became alive and it came active, and he was blown away at how God not only spoke to him. And I see this individual that has a whole lot of stuff still working out. There's things that are going on, but I literally see him as a person that God is going to use as a pastor someday. And sometimes he might not even see it in him, but I tell you, when they come in, him and his wife, they're going through a whole lot of things, but I see God preparing them for the things that are before them. And even at times, I just glimmer as they come in for counseling, and I go, "Wow, I see something in this couple, and I see what God is going to do in this couple." But the thing is that we need to pour into them. We need to continually be sensitive to the Spirit, hearing from the Lord, and then, of course, encouraging them. Loyalty is one of the important things, as we see in Numbers 11. Loyalty was something that Joshua had. We need to be loyal to the Lord, first of all, and of course, to God's people. You know, many times there's things that we have to do, or things that we don't have time, or some situations that take place. And I'll never forget the time that I had this couple that their daughter had died, and they had called me up at home, and the daughter was about 9 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, and she had died of a tumor. And the parents wanted me to go down to their house and go to their house. And as the coroner was going to pick them up, they didn't want to be in the room when the coroner picked them up. And for myself, I go, man, that's a hard thing, because watching them put her in the bag and the whole bit was really hard, having daughters myself. And being loyal to the people that are around you, my wife was encouraging me and sharing with me that you're going to need to do this. And it was really hard on my heart, that it was hard for me to do. And as I went and I did what I needed to do, they were very grateful for me being able to be there as they were sharing with me, "Please don't let them hit her head as they take her out. And please make sure that her socks are still on. And that was her favorite necklace, and that they wouldn't take that off. Would you watch over her?" And I says, "Yes, I will." As it was hard for me. But sometimes God wants us to be loyal to those people around us and to also be able to be there for them. And as a leader, you're also being a witness to them in what you do. Sometimes those hard things that come out, like I got a call at 4 o'clock in the morning that a parent had just died and the family wanted to be down at the morgue to pray with them and to encourage them. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, or maybe a kid that was trying to commit suicide at 5 o'clock in the morning, and the next day you had to go to work and you had to be there. And I'll never forget that one because I told the kid, you know, God loves you because I wouldn't be here for no one. That kid, I'll never forget him, because the thing about it is that he came to know Christ, and he realized that God loved him. But, you know, being loyal to those people around you sometimes, you know, they become those leaders around you, and they become those ones that are going to be helping you and being beside you. So never think it lightly when you're doing something for someone else, because, you know, it not only causes you to see how later on they're going to come beside you and help you through those difficult times or situations. And I got to tell you that is so true, because when I've gone through situations, it seems that the Lord was able to bring them around and helping us as a family to be able to go through things that we have gone through. And so know that God desires loyalty, but also that we would be loyal to our wives, and that we would be loyal to our friendships, the people around us, that we wouldn't take it lightly. Because see, guys, you guys are building leaders, and those leaders are watching you. As you guys are doing those practical things in your life, you're also showing them how they're going to end up following the same suit or same direction. And then, of course, being filled with wisdom. In Deuteronomy 34, 9 through 10, we see not only how Joshua was filled with wisdom, but and it says, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord commanded Moses." And so we see that Joshua was not only filled with the Spirit, but he followed suit. He listened and he obeyed, but he was used. He was a young man that was afraid, probably quivering in his feet to take the place of Moses, but he was alongside Moses and watching what Moses did, this older man, and he stood with him in loyalty, and he stayed with him, and he was bold and courageous, and not only was he a servant, but see, eventually Joshua took the place of Moses. All that he learned from Moses as an individual, he was able to apply in his own life. And so I think that as we continue to raise up those people around us, that we can use those practical things that are in the Word. The Word is important. The main key, if you're wanting to find out how to build leaders, is look into the Word. What is the Lord wanting to share with you? As I even think back how David was able to not only raise up some mighty men of God, if you remember in 2 Samuel 23, 8-12, read that. Next time you read you open up your Bible, read 2 Samuel 23, 8 to 12, and how David had these mighty men. There were three individuals that not only were a blessing to him, but you remember their names. One of them was, Joshib, and then the other one was Dudu, and then the other one was, or Dodo, I should say, and but the other one was also Shema, which was a son, and those three had some things that went in their life. And we look in 2 Samuel 23, 8 to 12, we see that one of them was not only a fighter, he fought with a sword and he used a sword. And so it's an indication of God's word, using the sword and being there and using the sword, using the word and getting into it and giving it out. But also the second one was one that that not only he used the sword, but he lifted up his hands continually, and that's in prayer. And then the third one was one that was committed to the job that he had in protecting the lentils, protecting the beans. And so we see these three individuals, how mightily they were used for God. And so how those people around you, note that they're able to be used in your ministry or in your capacity, they can be built up. And just recently, the Lord's been putting on my heart for those young kids to come up. And I've been watching younger kids that are around me that have a lot of potential. And I've been pouring into them and sharing with them, you know, I want you to come back and start helping me in ministry, putting it in their ears, dropping those little seeds. And I noticed that even just recently, in the last 3 years, we had a young man that started in the Children's Ministries at 12 years old, and he ended up not only starting Children's Ministries, he ended up going through high school, and God using him, and went to Marietta, came back and was working with me, and all of a sudden the administration seen how well he was growing, and they pulled him, and now he's a young adult pastor, and now he's starting his own family. But now I have a new young man in my vicinity, and this young man is graduating out of high school, and he's working with me. I hired him, and he's doing a lot of odds and ends and some meticulous things, and sometimes sharpening pencils and doing these things, and I see him as a young pastor one day, maybe a high school or a junior high pastor or maybe a leader. But looking to see the generation that's around you already, start preparing them. Because if we don't, you know, the church is going to die without the leaders that are needed. But we need to start looking and seeing those people that are around us, the youth, as well as the elderly and the in all different ages. Because I do like the elderly in Children's Ministries. And why? Because they have wisdom. And they have the stability to keep pushing forward, where they're able to teach the younger ones that when the young ones go, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. They tell me that all. I go, what do you mean you're tired, you're exhausted? No. And these older men or older people, you know, they're able to continue to steady on, and they're teaching them to persevere and to keep going. I think that young man that works with me, sometimes he just kind of shakes his head because I take him on a little tour of what we do, and sometimes he just shakes his head, just wondering, where do you get the strength from? How are you doing this? And when he tells me, I says, Jesus. I says, continue to fall after Jesus, and you're going to continue to see what God is going to do in your life. And as we continue to pour into the youth, continue to pour into the elderly, continue to pour into those people that are around us, God is going to do an amazing work in their life. And so we know that once upon a time the values and approaches of effective leadership in a church could be understood or caught, or we grew up in a church kind of like osmosis. You know, we caught something. And nowadays it's harder for that because, you know, with technology, sometimes they're not catching those things that need to be caught. I used to like it when they used to use that word osmosis. It's a caught. They caught it. You know, the book that if you guys have not read, it's called The Reproducer, and it's a little paperback little book, and I remember when I first read it, it was a reproducer of how Calvary Chapel started and how Chuck was able to reproduce himself to others, and that's what we need to be, those ones that are reproducing, that we're able to reproduce others besides us so that they can continue to carry on the work that is before them. And as we are challenged in these days, because, you know, we have a hard situation before us, but knowing that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, He's able to help us. He's able to give us the insight and the wisdom and what is needed, mostly in these days, because without Him, we can't do nothing. And I'm finding that out even more and more each day. Lord, I just want to be overwhelmed in You so that I can continue to move forward. And I pray that each one of you in here would continue to be overwhelmed in Jesus. And as you are, then you're able to see those Joshuas that are beside you, helping you, and becoming those men of God or women of God that are able to be used in the ministry. And then their efforts multiply in many other areas. But the key is Jesus. As we started in the beginning, the answer is Jesus. The more that we have of the Lord in our lives, the more that we're also feeding them the Word and being strengthened in the Word, we're going to see others that are going to be continually following after us because they're going to see something different in us. You know what caused the revival at the time of the hippie movement was that joy that Pastor Chuck had. You know, that smile. They go, man, what is up with that guy? How does he get his strength? How is he doing these things? And even more so in these days as we see him continually teaching and still on the radio, even with cancer. But we see that he's connected. His lifeline is the Lord. Our lifeline, our all in all, needs to be the Lord. We need to radiate Jesus and be filled with him so that we can continue to be all that we can be for him. And as each one of you has come in here and thinking, well, man, I need to know how to build up leaders or raise up leaders. One of the things is that, first of all, you yourself need to be a leader, being accountable to those people around you. Maybe if it's your husband or if it's your pastor, if it's a pastor's wife, but you need to be accountable to them, because we're not by ourselves in this. We need to be all that we can be for them as well. And so as I end this, I want to give you guys an opportunity to have any questions or anything else that we can, I think it's 10 minutes after, right? And so I kind of deterred out of my notes here, but that's okay. So do anybody have any questions or anything at all, or as we see? Yeah.
The book, Reproducer?
I couldn't think of the name, but you'll be able to get it on the Calvary Chapel. You got it. What's the name of it?
Chuck Smith.
I'm sorry. Very good. And it's an excellent book because it speaks about reproducing ourselves. And I really enjoyed how those hippies at that time reproduced themselves, didn't they? And they made a great impact. Anything else? Any questions? And so share with me, how many children's pastors do we have in here? 1, 2, 3. And do you find it harder nowadays to be able to raise up those ones beside you?
I think what you said is so true. It's an eye selfishness. There's a lot of things that you don't see anymore. Mm. You don't see people that are showing up early on time, ready and willing to, do the task.
Yes.
So it's kind of sad in that sense.
Yes, it is. But I like what she said.
Yes.
You provoke them. And the thing about it is that she came in here to get an answer, and she's the one that gave the answer. And it's that we hold them accountable. We hold them accountable. Just like an individual that went for counseling or a person that we hold them accountable to those things. I have a parent that called me up and wants to have a baby dedication for her child, and they have to go through counseling. And so she made the appointment, and I says, oh, so where's your husband? And he goes, oh, he hasn't listened to the tapes, and he hasn't done his homework. I says, well, then we're not going to have this appointment. He says, well, I only have, my child turns 6 years old and we only have a couple more weeks before she does, and he hasn't done this. And I says, okay, let me have his telephone number. I'm going to give him a call and I'm going to provoke him because he's in ministry. He's in ministry. He's a Sunday school teacher. And so I'm going to provoke him. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell him he needs to get reading and doing that homework so that he can be there. Sometimes we need to hold them accountable. Remember, Joshua had boldness. He had to need courage at times. I sometimes don't want to go in that direction, but the Lord sometimes puts that boldness to do certain things. I had a situation when I seen two applications of a Sunday school teacher that was coming in, and I noticed that there was on this one here, it had the same address as this, but she wasn't married. And I was going, that's funny. But they were turned in at the same time. And I go, wow, that's kind of strange. And so I said, hey, by chance, I got an application. Do you know that person? He goes, oh, yeah, I know him. I go, he has the same address as you. Oh, yeah, we're living together. I says, oh. I says, well, you know what? You won't be able to come into the ministry. I says, matter of fact, you need to get those things corrected. And I says, and we shared and we talked and the whole bit. Well, she got really upset at me. And she got upset and saying that's not fair and this and that. And I says, well, one of the things that you have to be a good witness. And coming into children's ministries, you're not going to be a witness as people see situations like this. Well, later on, 2 years later, she came back and she apologized. And not only apologized, but she came back and says, you know what? You are right. Because here we had kids in the home, and they were seeing that hypocrisy that was going on. And man, I'll tell you, I would have desired not to even get involved in that. But I had boldness because God had given me the boldness to be able to share that with her. And at this time, knowing that God was going to take care of the situation, and He did. And not only were they healed, but they were married and they're now walking with the Lord. Not in ministry no longer, but knowing that things were taken care of. So God desires for you guys to be bold. Don't hold back. Don't hold back because you're also your brother's keeper and helping them to stay strong in the Lord as well. And so whatever the Lord is wanting to do, speak it out. If the Lord is prompting you to do it, do it. We need to be obedient to the Lord. So why don't we pray? Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this time, and I thank you for these special individuals because, Lord, I know that they're desiring to see leaders raised up in their churches and in their ministry. And God, I pray that you would just continue to really cause their hearts to be just tender and sensitive to your Spirit, hearing exactly what they need to do. And God, that they would be enriched in seeing those little tidbits and those little insights, the simple things, just simple, because God, you're not a difficult God that brings hard things before us, but you bring simple things. As one person says, prayer is very important, and another one says just provoking them. But even just these little simple truths that can be able to help us to raise up new individuals in children's ministries or in the leadership of the church. But God, we know that we've came from others provoking us and challenging us. Now we need to continually provoke others in love. And Lord, we would see these people raised up for the ministry that's before them. Now we pray that as we know that we don't have much time, time is moving so quickly, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be those ones that provoke others, challenging others, that we would not hold back, causing them to be those ones that love your word and love to pray and intercede with you, and that relationship with you would be strong, but also that they would be loyal and be given wisdom and insight so that they can continue to move forward in these days. It's a tough situation, but Lord, we know we're going to win. And God, now we just pray that you help us to do these things, as someone said, that we would be doers of your word and not just hearers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.